If you have your word, turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Chapters 4, verses 1 through 3, we're going to be in. We're going to tear this scripture apart a little bit. Father, we just give you this time. Anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And anoint our hearts to walk via the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The name of this title is Walk Worthy of Your Calling. We're all there, Ephesians 4. Verse 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is so much in these three scriptures that I am not going to be able to take it apart effectively. So I'm going to take it apart piece by piece, because we have to understand that this is not church as usual. This is not Christianity as usual. This is about being part of the royal priesthood that we are called to be, kings and priests of our God. Amen? We have seen so far in chapters 1 through 3 the doctrinal issues that surround the belief of the believer. Those doctrinal issues have to be laid out so that we know without a question or uncertainty of what we believe so we can live it. Okay? And one of those things is that we should come upon in reading the scriptures is that we are positioned where? Not everybody at once. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are talking spiritual realities now. Okay? And how this spiritual reality manifests from heaven into us, out of us. Okay? It's not talking about something we have to do. Religion tells you what you have to do. Relationships just supernaturally happen. There's an intuitiveness. And most women are very good at this, in sensing about relationships and how to mend them, how to care for them, how to properly go for and work these things. Guys seem to be spiritually inept when it comes to building relationships. And that's not because we don't build them. It's because God has not equipped us in that way. And so in learning how this works in our life, we have to develop our spirits and the disciplines that's associated with it. Okay? We learned that sitting requires us to stop all activity. Now, how many of us at this moment seem to have some sort of turmoil going on inside of us, in our hearts? Praise God, there's some honest people here. The rest of you, I will pray for you, that you, the spirit of deception would leave you. All of us has something going on inside of us, whether we want to admit it or not. It's true. That is not of God. What is happening is we sense this area of frustration that comes upon us, and it's something that we're accustomed to. It's our natural nature in which this is how we do things. In Christ Jesus, it is totally 180 degrees the other way. And today we're going to start learning what that means. And walking is a means that produces stuff. And I'm telling you that it's not something we do in the physical. It is all spiritual. Okay? We have a spirit that's contained in a body. We have a soul that's being regenerated or becoming educated to the spiritual truths that God wants us to understand so that we can be effective, not be Bible thumpers and stuff, but be effective in developing relationships with people through love in Jesus Christ. And so what we have to begin to see is that this walking carries an attitude. It has to deal with everything that's going on in my mind, everything I say, everything I think. Everything I do is by walking by the Spirit. Does that make sense? This is no. This is maybe. And this is yes. You see, the church has not been taught properly how to walk in the Spirit. And so what happens is we think we supernaturally get this, and the truth of it is we have to learn it. It is a new way of life for us. We can walk by our carnality or walk in the flesh. We do that quite readily. We have our emotions being strung out all over the place, and we think that's normal. That is not the normalcy. If you come home to your house and your house is nothing but chaos and you wish you were back at work, there's something wrong. Really, there's something wrong. Your house has to be a home or a sanctuary for the Spirit of the living God. That is your first work. And that work only manifests if you manifest the Spirit of the living God in you first. We get that. It all starts between my ears, but it all comes out through my heart. And if I'm in turmoil, guess what's happening in my homes? Turmoil. Proverbs says, so a person believes that he is. If you believe that you're in turmoil, you're angry, you're frustrated, guess what that looks like in your home? You're yelling at the kids, you're cussing, you're short-tempered, you're frustrated. You say things like, I can't deal with this. That's absolutely the first time you're right. You can't deal with it. Jesus already dealt with it. And you have to start to understand that when you begin to start seeing these realities, it's already been done for you. You see, grace is what? Unmerited favor by God, right? It's not receiving something that we do deserve. Somebody's paying attention. Gosh. Mercy is not receiving something that you do deserve. Grace is receiving something you don't deserve. But grace is much more than that. All through the scriptures, we talk about grace and what that means. Grace is what enables you through the Spirit to be like Jesus Christ. You see, the fullness of the Godhead in Romans says He dwells where? In me. In you. All that God is dwells in you. The point of it is getting Him out of you. And so, we can't be schizophrenic. We can't be Pastor Gary over here and then Jesus Christ over here. We have to have this transition that it is no longer that I live, but Jesus Christ in me lives. And if He lives in me and my relationship to Him is vibrant, guess what? The Prince of Peace now dwells in me. Okay, and we're going to see this in a few minutes. So we're with that, right? We have to understand that Jesus is building the church, and the church starts with me individually. And He's building in you. When you're frustrated and things aren't going your way, it's because you don't understand the plan of God. You don't seem to understand that there's a bigger picture to your microcosm of a life. And I'm not diminishing the importance of your life. I'm just saying that there's something much bigger. Okay? You are important to God. That's why you got saved. Right? You got saved because you won't go to heaven? Is that the answer? Or did you get saved because you realized that you're going to hell and you don't want to go there? I got saved not because I was afraid of going to hell. I got saved because I knew the life that I was living was a dead end. And I surrendered to Jesus Christ almost 30 years ago. And I have not regretted walking with Him. And the fruit of my life is because the first thing that we teach you guys is what? You have to have peace. If you make a decision, you don't have peace about it, and you go forward in that decision, whose fault is it? It's yours. If you're husband and wife, and you're married, and one is saying one thing and one is saying another, and you have no peace in that, and one says, well, we're doing it because I'm the head of the household, or the other one says, I'm doing it because you're stupid, or whatever. You haven't had these frank conversations? My goodness, you got to come to my house. I'll show you the videotapes. You were here with us. No, we didn't say that. But a lot of us wish we did say that. And the truth of the reality is the most important thing is the relationship in any relationship is having it. It's not our rights. We don't have any rights. We are here to solve problems. And the problems that we have in our lives all comes because we're not thinking the way God thinks. That is the truth. Okay? So walking carries an attitude. How I walk, how I think, reveals to everybody my life. If I have an attitude of just good enough, well, guess what? I could tell what your household is all about. And here at Streams, we're constantly preaching excellence. Excellence, why? God's worthy of it. He gave us His very best, and He desires the same in return from us. The best we have to offer. That may not mean much to us right now, but in heaven we will see those rewards because we have to be different than the world. And the world says it's good enough. Who's going to know? I like to use the phrase at work. You can't see it from my house, but you're going to do it right the first time. And the contractors get all bent out of shape because they know when I say that, they're either going to dig it up a second time and make it right, or they're going to do it right the first time. We're going to do things right the first time, every time, because He's worthy. He died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. We embraced Jesus Christ, and whether we understood it or not, we enlisted into His service. And we're going to talk about that. One of the DNAs that we were at talked about defining the goal. Who could tell me what the goal is here? What's the goal out of these verses? God tells us clearly what the goal is. Let's try again. There it is. Keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How can two people walk unless they agree? How can you walk with God and not agree with Him? Most of us say we're walking with God, but our lives reflect the things that are contrary. You're not in agreement with God. Pastor, you just don't understand. I haven't gotten to that place. If you've been here at Streams any period of time, I expect you to grow up because that's what our Father expects. He expects us to agree with Him. Why? Because He knows everything and He don't make mistakes. Your life here is with a purpose. The life of the church is with a purpose. And the purpose of the church is to maintain the unity of the Spirit through a bond of peace. If we are at odds with one another, if we're causing strife and having an indifference in our attitude, whether, well, you know, I can say whatever I feel like and it's on them. They've got to pray about it and get over it. No. You are held responsible for the strife that you commit and bring into the fellowship. You are not maintaining the unity in a bond of peace, and you need to repent and change your attitude. I'm talking about a spiritual reality that God expects of us. And you may not hear this in your church, but you're going to hear it here because there's a purpose and a plan that God has for Streams, and I want us all to walk in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I think we do a pretty good job, but now we're going to gain understanding of how to do this, what it looks like. Unity is having a oneness formed from diversity. Unity is a oneness that is formed from diversity. I don't want you all being like me. I want you to be who Jesus created you to be, but walking in agreement with what God says. You can have a unity that is devoid of individuality and diversity. Did you know that? It's called being in a cult. Cults want you to lose your identity and only want you to use the gifts and talents that they want you to use. I want you to use the gifts and talents that God has given to you to expand His kingdom. That's what it's about. The Bible says, man's anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Or being in the right standing, being in the right place. Whew. We'll try. Peace has to be the mainstay. Now, I'm not saying having a peace at any cost. Okay? I'm not saying that you know, when Irene and I are having intense fellowship, that she capitulates just so we have harmony in the household. No. I'm talking about a peace that agrees with God and what He says, and we don't make a decision. This is the truth. We do not make a decision, a major decision, okay? We have our individual things that we do. But we don't make major decisions unless we're in agreement and we see it through the Word of God. How many believers do that? Well, you don't understand, Pastor. God is, yeah. God's all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present. Well, you know, I just can't afford to do what God says. I don't have the time to do it. You know what? I don't have the time either. I got 24 hours just like you. I'm industrious in how I use it. Do you spend an hour with God? Well, I'm up so early. Yeah, I'm up early too. Okay, let's go through your arguments and see where peace is going to rule and reign in your spirit. Well, you see, I got all this to do. It's not about you doing anything. It's being what God has created you to be. Did you think Jesus was busy? He knew He was going to the cross. And what'd He do? He'd stay up all night. Seek the will of the Father. He needed disciples. He had 70 some disciples. He picked 12. He spent all night. And we're complaining. Oh, I don't have time. I don't have this. I don't have that. It's not about you having. It's about you becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciplined one. How you utilize the time that God gives to you is important, because you see, you're going to give an account to Him. And I'm going to give an account for you on how I've taught you in to be this. This is real serious stuff. He's not monkeying around. He's about winning the loss, because He's going to judge this world that is in total out and out rebellion. And we're sitting around like, we don't have time for Him. We don't have time to do what He wants us to do. We don't have this, or we don't have that. You can use whatever excuse you want. It's not going to work with Him. You see, it's about Him coming out of you. Everything that you need comes from Him. Everything that you have comes from Him. Everything that you're supposed to be comes from Him. Everything that could possibly be successful is found in Him. My Bible tells me everything that pertains to life is found in Jesus Christ. Everything. And we're talking about our walk. Worthy of the calling. Peace is the active ingredient within our spirits that we should be walking in 100% of the time. I had an incident some years ago where a family came to me and said, Pastor, you said this, this, and this. You offended me. I didn't justify myself. I repented. Why? I know what this scripture talks about. My job wasn't to justify it. My job is to walk in the bond of peace. If I caused one of these who are precious to God, because they don't understand the context in which I'm coming from, then I need to repent. I didn't do a good job in which to explain myself in there in this time of their falling. And fortunately, they embraced me, and I embraced them. I wasn't thinking of anything more than, how can I restore this relationship? If I've offended them, they're offended. It's a reality. I'm not going to sit there and defend, well, you know, you're just a baby Christian, and you're just... You know what? My Bible puts the onus on me, being more spiritual, to restore him who has fallen back. Well, Pastor, you got to come to me, and you got to do this. I don't have to do anything but walk in love. And if Jesus tells me to, I'm going to do it. It's not about my reputation. It's about his. How many of us think about what we do at the expense of his reputation? See, and that's where the American church misses it. They're caught up in the gifts. They're caught up in all the manifestations of the Spirit. They're caught up in all this nonsense, which is great, but it shows us how immature we are. We should be caught up in Jesus. And if he wants to manifest the gifts, if he wants to have the tongue talkers going, let it happen. It's his church. I didn't die for it. I'm just a part of it. Turn to Romans 12. Man, let's go 2 weeks of this. Romans 12. Ed, give me verse 1. Someone else give me another translation on that. Reasonable. It's not unreasonable. But we act like it's unreasonable. It's the least we can do is to die to ourselves. But he doesn't leave us there. Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I can't tell you how many people I've gone up to and say, what's God saying to you? And it's all of a sudden it's like freeze frame. He wants me to say what God's speaking to me. I don't know, Pastor. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Kemi knows. I've asked her. Wrong answer. See, if you call in the name of Jesus Christ, I expect you to understand you're in a relationship with the living God, your Father. And if he's not saying anything to you, I want to know why. Could it be that we're just too busy? Could it be that I'm doing my own thing? Could it be that I don't have a Bible? Could it be anything? But don't ever say to me, I don't know. Because I'm going to tell you what God says. No one knows. He gets the boot all the time. I'm just getting the brass one back now. Our thinking is the way we think is natural. We don't think supernatural. We don't understand the concept of what Jesus did for us. He regenerated our spirit man inside of us. And what happens is our spirit man, how many of us still remember the day we got saved? Man, I'll tell you what. When I got saved, me and Jack Daniels were having a blast. We did. But I'll tell you what. Jack Daniels is still in a bottle like a genie, and God has taken me so much further. I changed. I made a conscious decision. I was not going to live like how I was living. I didn't see success in where I was going. I was on the throes of being divorced. I was involved in a lot of stuff I shouldn't be involved in. I was doing things. Well, we won't go there. God changed me. And I got into the Word. And I'm still in the Word. How many know this scripture? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. No? What is it, Kimmy? I want to see if you read your Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then 14th verse talks about, and the Word took on flesh. The Word, the living Word of God, took on my flesh. When you named Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, guess what He took on? Your flesh. And your flesh died on a cross over 2,000 years ago. Isn't that what Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 tells us? We were just waiting for the revelation of our salvation. Right? That's what it says. I can no longer be what I was. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And my mind is renewed by being in the Word. I understand that Jesus Christ now dwells in me, who wants to live through me to tell the world about God's terms of surrender. Because we're at war. And half the church doesn't even understand that. They think, oh, we're fighting Satan. Okay. We'll get on that one another time. I'm trying to finish. The way we think demonstrates our belief system. Because what we believe comes through a system or a foundation that has been laid in us, and we live accordingly, right? Doctrinally or spiritually, our doctrine tells us how our spirit man is to live. We're no longer to live like the heathen that doesn't know God. We're no longer to be like the heathen, going out there partying to all hours of the day. We're no longer to be selfish and self-centered. Is that maintaining the bond of peace when I'm at odds with my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? No. That's not how we're to walk. We're to walk in the Spirit. And we're only as strong as our newest believer. Okay? Not our kids. I'm talking about a new believer. You can become a believer at 60 years of age or at 6 years of age. Seniority doesn't have any play in the kingdom. Maturity and obedience is everything. Peace. Peace. Our walk should exhibit peace at all times. That doesn't mean what you're thinking. What it means is that no matter what the pressures of life is doing against me, I am not at wit's end. I am not running around in turmoil. I am not confused. Okay? And neither are you. Because El Shalom dwells in you. The King of Peace, the God of Peace, dwells in you. When you got saved, the warfare stopped. And all of a sudden, this joy started bubbling up within you. But what has happened in your walk is that you have not learned to be who Jesus Christ has created you to be. You're still continuing in doing the things that you think is right. You're still doing the things that you think is spiritual. And I tell everyone, I don't do anything unless God instructs me. Why? Because my success rides in what He tells me to do, not my opinions and not the way I think about things. And as my mind begins to be enlightened, transformed by the Word, studying, being discipled, getting my foundations laid, all of a sudden, supernaturally, where I'm speaking at, all of a sudden that starts to make sense to you. All of a sudden, it's like, why didn't somebody tell me this? Well, my job is to help you put the pieces together. My job isn't to do it for you. That's your job. And what has to be put together is you. You have to be made whole again. You have to release your past. You have to let go all the gripes of the past. You have to let go of all the hurts of the past. You have to get past your past. That's at the cross. I'm not minimizing what each and every one of us has gone through. What I'm maximizing is the power of God if you leave it at the cross. If you leave it there, God will meet you there and take you from there. I have friends of mine that come over and they say, Gary, you remember when we did this and this? And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm having a dickens of a time trying to remember. I can't go past the cross. My life ended at the cross. I honestly don't remember. They go, don't you remember what you did this, this, and this? And I'm like, no, I don't remember. What's the problem? The problem is you. I'm new. Being renewed day by day in the Spirit of the living God. Looking to maintain the bond of peace. And then I share with them what Jesus Christ has done for me. Some are receptive. Most are not. They say stuff like, Gary, you were more fun than you are now. Well, I think I'm pretty funny at times. Especially when I'm gangsta pasta. You know, the basic personality that God has made me is still within my soul, but I no longer think in the lower terms, in the lower realms. I think about higher things. I'm seated in heavenly places. I am a king of the Most High God, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who are those kings and lords that He's talking about? You guys. And you have to start believing that that's what He said, because that's the truth. That's who you are. You are not destined to be impoverished for the rest of your life. Whether you have the world's goods or not, what you have is far more valuable than you could ever dream about, ask about, or have. And that is knowing that you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. Peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, and Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. If you don't know what God is thinking, you won't be able to trust him. Do you believe that you're saved? That's the first question. Do you believe that you're saved? How do you know you're saved? It's by faith. You didn't attain faith. We dealt with that in the first three chapters of Ephesians. You can't earn your salvation. You already have it. You're already this. John 14:27 says, peace. This is Jesus saying, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. When we don't have peace, we are troubled and we are afraid. And why are we troubled and afraid? Because things are not working out the way we planned it. Well, you see, you're on the wrong train. God's planning this. God's got a plan for your life as He has a plan for my life. Don't you think it would make more sense to get your ticket punched and get on the right train? so that life would be a little bit smoother and that you would be at peace. I think it's that important that you understand that to have peace, you have to be at peace. Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers. I'm a peacemaker right now. That word peacemaker isn't a Colt 45. You know, out of the Old West. A peacemaker is a person who is at peace and can bring peace to a situation, can speak life to a soul that's in turmoil. That's what you are. You're peacemakers. You just haven't realized it yet. 1 Corinthians says, nevertheless, each one of you should retain the place in life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. A lot of us are not at peace because we're trying to emulate something that we're not. We're trying to be something that we're not. We want to do something that we're not equipped to do. And when things don't happen, when we make these plans and they don't happen the way we think they should, guess what? We're kicking the dog, yelling at the kids, screaming at the wife, and all the neighbors in Williamstown can hear us. Or Trenton, or Sickerville, or Malaga. I don't care, Pastor. I just got to get it off my chest. You better care because you're going to answer to God for it. I don't care. You're the one in turmoil, not me. As Ed so eloquently put those boys in turmoil. Should have taught them about peace. Does this make sense? You know, we're trying to be something that we haven't ever been created to be. And we don't want to accept what God says we are. So wrong. He created you. You're beautiful and important to him. People are trying to be something that they aren't, and they suffer from anorexia and bulimia, drug addiction, pain pills, all because they want to be something that they're not to be. God never intended. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, aim for perfection or maturity. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. How many of you have God with you? Are you at peace? If you're not at peace, he's not with you. That's what it says. Scriptures are real easy when you understand it from his perspective. Are we mature? How do we judge our maturity? Do we judge it with each other or with him? And I say, with him. Because I am not close to being mature. I'm on the path to maturing. Although this body is dying day by day, my inner man is growing, leaps and bounds. And in the revelation of knowing who Jesus Christ is and the grace that he's given to me to enable me to be able to stop all activity, sitting, and begin to start walking in this calling. Next week we're going to learn about this calling. You want me to keep going? Who wants to know about their calling? Let me see the hands. You want to know about your calling? Me is the only one. Okay. Oh, and my other son over here. Oh, my two more sons. Okay. I feel like Jimmy Swagger. Come on, everybody, stand up and praise the Lord. All right. We're going to learn about our calling. We're exhorted to walk worthy of the calling. What is the calling? What is this calling that he's talking about? Is it the job that we think God has for us? He's called me to be pastor. He's called me to be the church secretary. Is that what he's talking about? He's talking about your salvation. You see, he called you to come to him. And you said, "Yes, Lord." You need to know that you walk in an atmosphere of royalty. When Jesus died, he provided a way for us to become sons and daughters of God's house. And God's house is not one of poverty and lack. You are royalty and need to walk as royal people, maintaining the bond of peace. That doesn't mean that as royals go, that we conduct ourselves bad. It doesn't mean we're yelling at our kids. Royalty is speaking about who we truly are. We have a different demeanor about ourselves. We conduct ourselves differently. We can talk about this all we want, but if we don't think of ourselves, think directs how we walk. If we don't think that we're kings and priests, spiritual, supernatural people, always being put down because the enemy is just so tough, you're not walking in a manner that is worthy of the calling of being a born-again believer. That doesn't mean we're haughty. That doesn't mean we're arrogant. It just means that we're agreeing with God and that his calling is holy. It's understanding that we have a responsibility before our Father to not only grow up, no matter what the situation we find ourselves in. You see, when we understand that he's in control of my life, that doesn't mean that we can't make plans and decisions and stuff, but our plans and decisions have to be made according to his word. We have to be in agreement. The first area that we made that decision of agreement was when we came to understand about salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. We agreed that we were sinners. And that the only way that I was going to get to heaven was to receive by faith God's provision for us. Amen? That's the beginning. That's not the end. That's no different than a baby being born into this world. It's the beginning. And we spend a lifetime learning how to be like Jesus Christ. And the things that Jesus talks about, the greater works that he talks about, he's talking about some things that, you know, I've heard all kind of sermons about this. But the issue here of being that which God has created you to be and walking in that, spiritually walking in this, because the way I conduct myself, and I've not arrived, believe me, I thank God that you guys forgive me every day. I have not arrived. But some things I have learned. I have learned to walk in the Spirit. I have learned to allow the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in my life. Why? Because I take very seriously about this issue, this goal of walking in unity in the bond of peace. I've thrown people out of the house because they're disruptive. Their spirits are agitated. And I don't want to be caught up in their nonsense. Your call is to royalty. Your call is to sanctification. Your call is to understand this word worthy. This word worthy carries weight. The Greek word is axios. It means to walk in balance. You know those scales? You know? Most of the time our scales are like this, all the time, up and down, up and down. We're to walk balanced. Nothing upsets us. Nothing gets us agitated. Nothing. When we begin to walk in that, then our sensitivity to others as to why they're out of balance becomes heightened. You see, a mature believer is one who cares about someone more than they care about themselves. That's the truth. We could do everything we possibly can, and it could be wrong. Right intentions, but wrong, because God didn't tell us to do certain things. And I call that unsanctified mercy. We get in the way of God when God wants to do something because we love. We love in a way that is not perfect. And God's love is perfect. We get this peace that's torn from within us. We lose it because the situations that we find, the trials, the tribulations, the weight of the pressures of our life is such that we take it on when Jesus has already taken it upon Him. And Paul says, or Peter says, you know, cast your burdens upon Him, for He cares for you. You are not meant to carry the weight of the world upon your shoulders. You were not designed. Jesus understands exactly who you are and who I am and what I'm able to bear. And the truth of it is, I can't bear any of it. He bore it all. He did. Honestly, He bore it all. So if we're free, we're free. Then why aren't we happy and rejoicing in our freedom and telling people about Jesus Christ? Could it possibly be that you don't have peace? Could it possibly be that you're not saved? Could it possibly be that you're allowing the cares and worries of this world to pressure you and bring you down? Because Jesus is the answer to all of that. And He just encourages us to walk worthy of that calling that we've received, that calling unto salvation, a calling to be a king and a priest, called to position ourselves in our way we think from His perspective, no longer from our own. And Romans 14, 17 through 18 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men." I believe everyone wants to be pleasing to God. I do. You just need to learn how that happens. And we'll talk about that next week. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You, God, that You want to bring balance to our lives. That, God, you want us to walk worthy of Your calling, God, upon us. That, God, we are no longer under it, that You have exalted us to be in heavenly places. That, Father, if we have need, you promise to make provision for us. That, Father, whether we have the riches of this world or none of it, does not change how we are to walk. We have no excuse. We are left without excuse, God, in how we conduct ourselves. And Father, I pray for them who have been under it, who have been stressed, God, that repentance would be easy for them. I pray for those who are indifferent and continue speaking words of strife, that they too, Father, would see how out of a line they are and how immature they are. Father, You're calling Your church to arise and shine. You're calling Your church to be without spot or wrinkle. You're calling us for the bride to make herself ready, because You are coming for us, God. God, we want to be pleasing to You, God. So Holy Spirit, show us, teach us, enable us to walk in a manner that is worthy of the high calling only found in Jesus Christ. And I ask this all in His precious name. Amen. And amen.